Now, what was the R&B?
My like, you know how we, like, as far as hip hop, you know, we had that one song that, like, kind of got us into it. Like, as far as R&B, that song that got y'all into, like, R&B? Think, as far as male and female, like, who you think is probably, like, the greatest?
Oh, man, that's hard. That's hard.
I think I know mine, man. Oh. It's funny because I think I listened to it last night. Let me real quick. I'm about to grab a drink, and then I'll come back. We'll get to rocking.
Okay. Can see R&B music. That's my first love, man. I love R&B, man. Like that 80s, 90s R&B is for me.
Yeah, I love the music, man. But it's, I don't know. That's hard to say the first R&B song, man.
That really got you, like, locked in. Like, dang, you know what I'm saying? Like, whew, it's a few, man. I got a few.
It's a lot. You got groups. You got individuals. You got, man, I don't know if we consider Mike Jackson R&B or Prince R&B.
I do consider Prince R&B, though. I consider Prince R&B.
I mean, if you consider Prince R&B, then you gotta consider Mike.
Yeah, R&B too. I consider Mike R&B too. He definitely kind of went R&B in his later years. With You Rock My World, and you know what I'm saying, like other songs, like he definitely went that way.
Stop.
Oh man, I mean, I consider Mike R&B. Even if they call him pop, I think they called him pop because his music trickled over to the Caucasian audience a lot faster than
it did with us.
Anybody else's. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we always knew Mike as Jackson 5, and then when he started his solo career, it was still, you know, Mike R&B, but it was, the Caucasian crowd was like, hey, we down with Mike more than Prince, you know what I'm saying? They didn't understand Prince at all until Prince started saying, hey, this is for y'all too.
Yeah,
this nigga still don't understand Prince. Yeah. I'd be blowed. I'd be like, man, listen. He'd be like, I like Prince. I'd be like, oh, word. Give me a song outside of Purple Rain and Doves Cry. All right, thank you. Now move along. I don't want to hear nothing else, bro. There's so many other ones, bro. Like, I really got to the point where I never need to hear Purple Rain again my entire life. It's enough. The song number one is like 7-8 minutes long. So it's like, look, man. Prince has got some beautiful, wonderful music out there. Purple Rain, just get Purple Rain up out of here, man. That's it. We just exhausted it. We done ran all the tread off that tire. I promise you, he has better songs than Purple Rain. Purple Rain just happened to be one of the more popular ones.
Yeah.
So let's see. All right, we'll get into it. And we probably we can use that stuff too. They know how we get down over here. So I had to go grab a little quick energy drink. So first, all right, let's get into it a little bit. The first R&B song that you kind of be like, man, this my bag. Like, this is what I got in. This is what I'm here for. Since it was your thing, Rob, what was your song?
For me, and it's crazy that X said Michael Jackson. For me, it was Rock With You by Michael Jackson.
Mm.
Rock With You. That was like the very, very first song that, like, I heard R&B music, but that song really got me growing up. You know what I'm saying? Rock With You. I still to this day love that song. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like other things evolved, you know what I'm saying, with it. You know what I'm saying? For me, the greatest group, Jodeci. I love everything. It ain't nothing that they made that I won't listen to. You know what I'm saying? Like, that for me, that's what I got. That's what I got. And Bobby Brown, and for me, it, as far as single male, is Bobby Brown, man. I got Bobby Brown. For
Bobby. for me, man, it's probably James Brown, Living in America. Nah, I'll just fuck with you. No, you know why I say that? Last night, I was at a job, and somehow he came up. Somehow. I said, dog, hey, play that James Brown interview real quick where he high as hell off that white boy.
He
go. Man, we was in that motherfucker crying, talking about, feel good. Hey! Yo, this motherfucker, his jaw just going to work, man. I'm like, yo, pause. Man, that is one of the funniest. Like, if you just ever got 2-3 minutes, if y'all never seen it, you listening, man, just go check.
You got to watch that one, and you got to watch the one with Ike Turner about to get arrested.
Oh, yeah.
I see. Yeah, man.
Those are some two of the funniest cocaine-inspired, cocaine-infused interviews you ever going to run across, man. But seriously, it's funny you say that because I never really was like a big R&B head growing up. So, like, my mom never played that stuff around the house, really. My mom was like, I grew up like in Holiness household, so like it wasn't nothing played if it wasn't gospel. But my dad, though, when I go to my dad's house, that's where shit was lit, and they have like, you know, the grown folks room, and
yeah,
all right, y'all turn, go back there in the den, yada yada. So like, that's where I got a lot of my early R&B exposure. So like, early on, I remember listening to like Barry White and Sade. And
Sade,
that, yeah, those type groups, Freddie Jackson, Luther. So for me, I think the first song that I can recall just really, like, really falling in love with as far as the R&B shit goes was Sweetest Taboo. And I was just like, bro, this is, I don't know what it was. This is legit now. I'm 42, so when this song comes out, I'm fairly young. This song was just, I don't know what it was. It was rhythmic. It was hypnotic. Yeah. It just took me. I was like,
yeah,
bro. Like, this is that.
I think she's probably one of the most underrated. Like, they don't, when they talk R&B singers, like, they don't bring her up enough for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, she got a lot of classics, man. She got a lot of hits.
But I think what Sade is, because I guess they don't look at it, they look at it a little differently, because, like, a lot of times they always get it to the vocalist, right? This R&B thing is always about like Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, Chaka Khan, Aretha Franklin. These women had this great vocal range and all this. Now, Sade just got a pocket, but that pocket that she worked in, it worked so well with that production, the way they did their live instruments and all, it's untouchable, man. And it's really, like you said, it's underrated to me. But yeah, that was my first joint, man. And then let's see, you said solo male artist. Solo male artist. I probably go. Damn, that's a good question. Bobby's legendary, like you said. R. Kelly is obviously like, R. Kelly's like the GOAT. But I honestly, even before all the scandals and stuff, I really was never that big of an R. Kelly fan. I really wasn't not ever knocking his accomplishments or the music he made. I know who he is when you talk about R&B. I know who that guy is, and you can't take that away from him, regardless to, you know, all the accusations or whatever was true, blah blah blah. It's almost I don't know. You kind of got to go back to. I think you got to. It's kind of like what X was saying. I think Mike would be R&B, so you almost got to say Mike. A lot of smashes. I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I'm gonna go MJ. I don't know, man. It seems like if you're at the top, you got some weird accusations. every dude does.
Yeah, yeah, man. Hey, you see both of them up there.
Hey, listen. We gonna take Mike for the R&B. We gonna keep him on our side.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
We take him away from him. Yeah. We gonna keep Mike on our side.
Pop is being popular.
And Larry, and for me, and I say for me, for R&B and X, you should know this. Like, growing up in Miami, our rap scene wasn't like that. Yeah, we had Luke and we had a few other small things, but most of it was Hot 105 and it was R&B music. So Betty Wright, you know what I'm saying, who's a big, you know, she's from Miami. I heard a lot of Betty Wright growing up. You know what I'm saying?
Michael Sterling.
Like, that's what we heard. So it was a lot of R&B flowing through Miami before it kind of like Trick Daddy kind of rolled in and that kind of like took off. Miami was like an R&B, you know what I'm saying? Like, really R&B town. You know what I'm saying? A lot of R&B.
Because you got all the women.
Luke Skywalker Records had a bunch of R&B acts on there, local R&B acts that unfortunately didn't get big or famous, but yeah, Miami was definitely R&B. It was bass music, bass music, shaker booty music, whatever they want to call it. It was R&B.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they ain't everybody and nobody outside of West Palm Beach respected bass music or shaker booty music.
Yep.
Oh man, we don't want to hear that, but you know, that's what we had. To go to my favorite, the song that kind of put me on, not put me on, but I love to this day. It kind of goes with bass music, shaker booty music. It's Barry White. Your sweetness is my weakness.
All right. Oh yeah, yeah, man, yeah, yeah.
Because every time you went to a party, they play that song. They'll play the song without the vocals. So it's like they just dancing at the party. You're like, okay, you just going. And I love that song to this day. I'm like, well, that's the one song that I could probably sing word for word, R&B wise, as far as individual. I wasn't a big R. Kelly fan, although I listened to his music. I kind of always figured something was sick with this man anyway.
We heard the stories.
He was singing some things that was just kind of off top. Like, man, what is he saying? He's kind of a freak.
And then we knew about the Aaliyah rumors. And y'all got to remember, back then, these rumors was already swirling before social media. We were saying that stuff way back then. You didn't have Twitter and Facebook and all. We would just hear that in the streets. Like, R. Kelly kind of, you know, they say he'd be on, you know, on some real swing by the high school shit for real. Like, this was kind of a thing that was already leaked out of the industry. And it was like, listen, if Kelly in your town, bro, he pulling up in front of the high school, dog. Like,
man, listen, I forget what album that was. He recorded a whole album down here at the studio out here in Miami Lakes. I forget what album it was, but he recorded it and
wasn't it TP2?
It probably was TP2. Probably was TP2. And the stories we was hearing, I was like, man, this nigga in the studio naked, people just sitting around. I'm like, what?
Can you imagine being an engineer, cuz? Like, all right, well, I set up.
They say, man, it's weird recording him because he just do some weird, crazy thing. I'm like, man, once all the stuff started coming out even more, I was like, and I believe it.
Yeah, it all makes sense.
I believe it. Like, he was just that, man. But my individual, I would have to go Usher, man. Once Usher dropped Confessions, Usher dropped Confessions, I was like, yeah, that's probably the best R&B album ever.
I listen to Superstar every day.
Superstar, that man, that deal.
Yeah.
That's that deal. I actually always got to pair it with the intro. This is for my number one.
It's two R&B albums that I could rock with to this day, man. That's the Usher Confessions, and that's JT Justin Timberlake album.
Future Sex.
Yeah, man.
That's a fire, man. That's a fire ass album.
That's a real good album.
Man. Timberlake did his fucking thing on that album, bro. Lord. Every song is like long, but it blends into a weird melody that takes you to the next song, and you like, bro, this shit here.
Excellent album. I was like, man.
Yes, sir.
Me and my homeboy had that discussion all the time because he's a music head, and he be like, man, that Usher and Timberlake. I say, man, I don't know. He say, remember they were doing a little verses. They were like, man, if Usher do something against anybody, make him go against Justin Timberlake. And I was like, I stopped and I said, man, that might be kind of a good idea. Man,
listen, because Usher bag is deep. Obviously, he's been in the game since he was, you know, kind of like JT. Like, he's been doing this thing ever since he was like 13, 14 years old. And Timberlake been, you know, shit, he been, you know, Mickey Mouse Club and all. I think NSYNC, he probably was 16, 17. Yeah. That really started first to pop off. So, yeah, you talk about some OGs in the game, some vets. You know, JT got his solo hits, which to me smack way harder than the NSYNC stuff. But he got some NSYNC stuff.
Yeah, he got some hits, man, but it's you remember him more so of Justin Timberlake. You don't remember him as NSYNC, you know what I'm saying?
I went to the NSYNC like little page the other day, right? And I was playing like, okay, what's the NSYNC, like, you know, bangers off of Spotify. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of a short list, dog. You had about 7 songs. I'm like, all right, I'm out of here, really. But if you take me to the Justin Timberlake page, oh, yeah, it's a deeper bag over there. Like, now, this is where you going. This is where Lang going to hang out right here.
Yeah, man.
Because even at, until the end of time, man, that thing was a banger. And then Beyonce jumped on it. Man, that was it, boy. Yeah, but that was it.
Now I know what I'm listening to on the way to work. set the soundtrack for the way to work now. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely getting into that one.
Man, I mean, look, I remember I had a chick in the car with me one day, and I was playing the Justin Timberlake. She was like, why are you playing that? I'm like, what? Like this. Oh yeah, we can't vibe.
I'm about to say you better wake up, girl.
You don't know music if you telling me you don't like this.
No,
like,
yeah. Take the NSYNC off. Like you think that's what a lot of be. You like he? No. Don't worry about that.
JT was that guy.
Listen to the music, and like I say, what him and Timberland did on that album, masterful, man. They just got and sat down and locked in the studio and was like, bro, we not leaving until we got a classic. We're not leaving.
Yeah.
How about this, man? We'll kind of cap it with this. What to you is probably the most slept on R&B album?
Ooh.
It's just like, bro, people don't talk about this album, bro. And it was just you put that one on and it's like, yeah, this the one, bro. Actually, I'm gonna do two. I'm gonna get a jump started.
You said one, man.
I'm gonna jump start it, right? This was gonna throw y'all off. Madonna, Bedtime Stories. People go, oh, it's Madonna. What you talking about? Madonna was quote unquote pop, right? Bedtime Stories was produced by Babyface. Mm. They locked in together and did a whole album together. If y'all haven't listened to that, go listen to that album. It is a R&B album. Madonna got in a great bag. You already know a Babyface, dude. Come on. We talk about the songwriting goat. You know, if it ain't Kelly as Babyface, when we talking about a guy that gets in and creates hits when they come into that R&B world, come on, quit playing. They locked in and came up with a masterpiece in Bedtime Stories. My second pick, though, would be Lloyd, Street Love.
Oh.
Hey, that was your album?
I swear on my kids, I was just thinking the same thing. Lloyd, Street Love, man. Lloyd, Street Love, man. Oh, my gosh.
Young Bucks, young fellas, you want to throw her off and just hit her with a vibe? She ain't put that album in and just cruise.
No lie. I Googled it because I had pulled it up like right when you was talking. I pulled it up and look, Street Love, Lloyd. Bro,
hey, listen,
that was a dope album, man. That was a dope album.
I'm gonna tell you, I remember exactly when they dropped it. And you know, that's when Murder Inc. was kind of at the top of their game. So what they did, they failed promotional wise to promote the album. And the album was probably one of their best albums on throughout their whole roster.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's when they was trying to promote the Ja, you know what I'm saying? And then that's when Ja was kind of going through the little thing with 50. So they were like, we got to keep the heat on Ja. You know what I'm saying? We kind of take the focus away. But when that album dropped, I was like, man.
Because he was, Ja still like the stable, the horse in the stable, the big horse in the stable. Yeah. You got to kind of.
But that album was dope, man. I used to ride it. I'm talking about when it dropped, man, I was riding in my car with it. I'm supposed to be gangster. You in the car. Like, for one, he's singing about gangster stuff that you do in the street. You know what I'm saying? You ain't even listening. You just thinking, oh, man, you hear the voice and think, no, he really singing about stuff a gangster do when he get a girl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
and it's
I love that.
He got a whole song that he's singing dedicated to Perp. I forget what it's called. I think it's like Violet or something like that. But yeah, he talking about that whole song. He talking about Perp weed. Yeah, man, like that to man. Listen, like I say, Young Bucks, if y'all want to get her in it and like really just get her in the mood and set a tone, put that in, man, and just cruise somewhere, go cruise down by the beach or downtown, wherever wherever the vibe's at, and just let that one go, man. And you I'm telling you, she gonna be, her mind is already gonna be halfway there, brother. Thank me later.
Oh, she definitely gonna be, you know, hey man, put your hand right here right quick.
you can get that knee, you definitely get that knee rub, man. And
yeah,
you
man.
Play it right, you're gonna get the elevate from the knee. And I let I let your hands do the rest of the walking, man. I'm telling you.
For me, man, I think I don't even know if it's a slept on album, because when it did drop, you know, it caught fire. But I don't think people talk about it like in 2023, or people don't even mention it that often. I'm gonna have to go with D'Angelo Brown Sugar, man.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's
as
a good one.
As an album, you right. Like, I think he bursts on the scene, you right, and people talk. Everybody's talking about who's this guy, you know, this is because it was like he's hip hop, right? And he's like, yeah, he was singing, but his vibe was, yeah, it was like a rapper's vibe, pretty much.
He had a rapper's vibe, the neon soul vibe, the R&B vibe. So he had all three.
Right.
And nobody really figured out what is he really doing.
What he was doing.
What they didn't know was he was producing. He was producing mm-hmm. the music. He was singing it, you know what I'm saying? But then it was kind of like a rap style that he was putting together in the album. And it kind of like made it so dope. So I don't think that one, I agree.
That's not like mentioned up there like with one of the best the R&B joints. What you about to say, Rob?
I got another one for you, and it's Babyface produced. John B. Cool Relax.
Oh,
John B.
Cool Relax.
Yes.
Cool Relax. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Babyface produced that. He produced that, man. He it's what?
See, as we talking this, right? See, now you taking me back. Like, is this when I'm first able to drive?
You know? Yeah.
So I'm riding around. Yeah, that was the soundtrack of my Saturday nights. Was Cool Relax. Cool Relax. Let your mind take back. Hell yeah. Baby, are you still down? Still down for me, baby. Man. Look at
Tupac. Bro, that came. Oh man, that probably was like probably at the time when it came out.
We was going crazy.
Yeah, because with him, just passed. Tupac, bro, they meshed. It meshed so well. Worked.
Yes,
and it was like, bro, like nobody thought that was like possible. But man, that thing worked.
Don't listen to what people say. Man, look, bro. Hey, you talking about the soundtracks of my Friday, Saturday nights? That was it right there. That was huge right there.
They used to play that song, Don't Listen to What People Said at the Skate Ring. And I'm like, you know, the Skate Ring ain't supposed to be playing no song like this, but they played it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that one is Slow Glide, man.
Yeah. Slow Glide. You holding hands with somebody. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Come on, let's skate together. Hold on. You can't skate, but I'm going to hold you tight now.
Yeah, man. That and what's my last one is Joe. That was at the same time that album was around that same window. Look, that Joe album's a few years earlier, but it still reminds me of that same period in like high school. That what was the name of that album? I know the single was What Your Man Won't Do. Hold on, I'm about to pull it up not right now. Yeah, that was an awesome album.
That boy Dirty Mac is so hard in that song.
Man, look here, man. Hey, that was the vibes back then. That's what you did. That was 97. So it was like damn near the same that time. Yeah.
Yep.
This is all that I am. Man, don't want to be a player. How come girls? All like bad guys. Yeah. You know the funny part about that is? They say on the low, Joe is a thug.
Yeah. They say,
why good girls like bad guys? You tell us, man. Sanctified girl. And he grew up in church, too. That's how you know, too, because he got that sanctified girl. You got to come from my kind of church to even know that lingo like that. But, that was that's 1 hour, man, of perfection when it comes to just that 90s R&B. You want to know what we were talking about when we said we missed that 90s R&B sound? Those are the soundtracks, too.
Yeah, those are.
You got a little bit of rap in it. Not too heavy on the rap, just a sprinkle of rap, man. We mostly just want to focus on the vocalist, man, yeah. And the production. Not all is down. Like, these motherfuckers like got to rap on every song nowadays.
Jodeci, Guy, who else? You had, what's Cisco in the group called?
Oh, Drew Hill,
112.
You had Shy.
You had, yes. and them goose took the hip hop vibe and flavor and just was singing.
Yep,
just
right.
Even they style and fashion, yeah.
Jermaine Dupri explained it all the time when he created TLC. He was like, man, look, that's a hip hop group, but they finna sing. You know what I'm saying? I'm finna give them hip hop beats, but they gonna sing. They got hip hop style, they gonna sing.
And even with them having a rapper, if you go back to their early stuff, she didn't rap on every song. She didn't have like a rap verse on every song. She would do a lot of like harmonizing background vocals and stuff, you know, because they didn't want to oversaturate it. Because like I said, when you get an R&B album and an R&B feel, man, I don't want to hear nobody rap every damn song, man. I don't want to hear 16 bars, you know what I'm saying? And we kind of keeping it sexy over here. Like, you could sprinkle it in and it works right. But yeah, nowadays they oversaturate. I'm like, this is an R&B album, dog? Why is we got Pop Smoke? You know what I'm saying? Slim Jimmy. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, man, hey, come on, dog.
Yeah, I think they kind of like looked at how Pretty Ricky success is like, well, we could do this with just an R&B and just put a bunch of different rappers on it. But like,
and nah, I hated nah. Pretty Ricky because I always hated the rap part. I was like, you don't need him right now. You don't just have to rap. Just not on this one. Just let it vibe, man.
Now, one thing I'm gonna say though, boy, they music set the women right, boy.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
The women right, boy.
No denying them. Women right. No denying. Yeah, the black and the white girls.
I'm gonna give y'all a true story about me and Pretty Ricky. I know the old boy Blue. Shouts out to Blue, man. Blue a cool dude. Blue used to be heavy in the streets. I mean heavy. I'm like heavy. He was one of them dudes in the streets getting it. So they create a group, stuff like this. You know, I got the music store. I got a music store in the flea market. I'm selling CDs, music, movies, and stuff. I had ended up getting the CD earlier, like 2 weeks early before it's supposed to come out. They sent me one. I was waiting for them to send me the rest. You know, I sell bootlegs there too. So I'm like, I bootlegged it. And I'm playing it in the shop one day, and a girl who knows them walks by and hears it, and she say, how you get that? I say, don't worry about it. Like, you want it? You want to buy it? She ends up jumping on the phone, walks off, and she made a phone call. 30 minutes later, Blue come to the store. And he, you know what I'm saying? He talking to me, and I'm like, he tried to check me, but then he realized, you know, he was like, man, I respect Game. I know what it is. So what he did was he made a phone call to, I think they was under Atlantic. He made a phone call to the label. Then they end up shipping me 50 CDs the next week for the release date. And he was like, man, you should have just hollered at me first. I like Blue, you know, I'm like, I have a small business. I don't need to holler at you. Man, I'm not, you know, like, then, you know, cause we know the same people, so it was like it was kind of squash. But the girl tried to make it bigger.
Right? Yeah. How they do?
She called the singers. They younger than me, so it was like they already knew me. So they're like, well, we can't go up there and check him. I'm like, we gotta call the old boy now.
And once that's crazy. That's crazy. Like, yeah. How they do, man?
And she was on 79th Street Flea Market.
No,
183rd. Oh, okay.
But they used to call it Caramar.
Yeah.
Nice to be. Yeah.
He told me I used to be. All right, let me get out of here.
Nah, because, yeah. Hey, Larry, you know what's funny? I used to, because that's where I used to get all my music from. I used to go to Caramar, and I used to go to 79th Street Flea Market, because, you know, it's another flea market that's closer. It's like more in the city. And I used to get music from that, so I ain't gonna lie. I probably done bought some shit from X way back then, but I ain't no X then.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm 1,000% sure I probably bought some music.
Okay, it was two. We had, well, ours was called Sucker Free Records, and then my homeboy had Lions Records. That's where we originally started.
Yeah.
We broke off and branched off and started our own. And yeah, every big rapper See, who came from Miami, came to get some music from us, Ross, Trick, you know what I'm saying? Dirtbag, shout out to the homie Dirtbag, off to Dirtbag, all of them. Came and got music from us. So
it was just like,
it was funny because that wasn't, Cali tried to do the same thing with me, and I was like, Cali, man, you get out of my shop, man. Like, you ain't even from Miami. You can't come check me about those CDs.
Man,
you know what I'm saying? The only one who kind of put down and I had to kind of respect was Po' Boy E-Class.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
saying? E-Class, yeah.
They came prepared, and I wasn't prepared. I was like,
oh. who was it? Okay. You froze
E-Class.
For a second.
E-Class, Po' Boy.
Yeah,
I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, man.
They came prepared. I wasn't prepared, and I was like, "All right, I got y'all, but y'all gonna see. We'll figure this out." You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, yeah, man. We figured this out, and it was all out of respect. It was just, you know what I'm saying? The way they just was like, "Man, let us get the stuff to y'all so we can get the sound scan.
Sound scan. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was like, "All right."
Yeah, y'all
bring it to me, label sound. See,
but the funny part is knowing what we know now, from an artist standpoint, that sound scan don't mean jack shit because you ain't making nothing off of that, really. Like, you make pennies off of that album sale because you got to recoup, the label got to recoup first. So, really, the music selling itself, at least especially at that time, wasn't really the big key. You really want your music everywhere so you can go tour that shit, and that's where you're going to make your money. Because especially the deals they was giving back then, bro, you was getting jerked on that album sale. You wasn't getting no money off of that.
Man, look.
Especially if you was in a group. Shit.
They were saying, just say, like, out of every $100. Okay, so back then, like, albums was selling for, like, $15, $16.
Right.
So you getting maybe 7 cents per album. Just imagine right. 7 cents per album. Like, when the album goes platinum, that's already like $10 million plus. You know what I'm saying? So they would say, just say you might get maybe 450,000 out of that $1 million. You might, you know, after that, they saying that's the money they already gave you. They gave you that money already.
Yeah, they got to recoup first. You ain't touching that. That's for your own. Remember when we was in the hotel and y'all had got all them bottles and all that?
Yeah.
That's not free.
Not to mention, you recorded this at our studio. We got to charge you for
engineering,
press kit, all that. Oh, you remember that we drew up 1,000 posters. The CD cover. Oh, we had to pay the hairstylists. We had to pay the makeup artists.
Matter of fact, you still owe me $200,000. You still in the red, so yeah. That's the music business for you, boy.
The way that I learned it is my homeboy was doing work with Atlantic Records. He was saying, X, look, I'm gonna bring you 100 CDs. These CDs are already scanned, sound scanned. But I want you to sound scan them again to double it.
Mm-hmm.
To make it look like we sold more.
Twice as much, yeah.
That's how Master P and them was eating. Because they were like, well, we got our own store. We want to scan these CDs so many times to make it look like we went platinum.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? We sold 800,000 of records in one week. Not really.
we
found a way to scan 800,000 records in 1 week.
Hey, gotta hustle, man. Gotta hustle the hustle that's there to be hustled. Damn it. And eat while you can off of it.
Anyway, good, man.
Let's get into a little old football. But
last little question. Who is the best R&B vocalist of all time? Man, you can do a man and do a woman.
R&B vocalist, give me woman, I'm gonna go Mariah. I'm gonna go Mariah Carey.
I'm gonna go Whitney.
Okay, all right. And
yeah, I say Whitney.
Okay, Mariah and Whitney. And then male vocalist, I'm gonna go off the beaten path a little bit. He's another good songwriter too, man. I'm gonna go with Brian McKnight.
Yeah.
I'm going to go off the beaten path a little bit now.
Hmm.
I think Brian got some real good range, just kind of slept on too. Great, great songwriter too.
Man.
But vocally, I thought, yeah, I thought he had a real like talented voice.
Yeah, that's a good one. As far as male, I'm gonna be honest with you.
Give it to Luther.
Huh?
Go and give it to Luther.
And it's crazy. I was just about to say, man, it might be Vandross, man. Oh no, man, you know who I like? Man, I like LeVert. I like Gerald LeVert, man. That okay. Hey, LeVert. Hey, that motherfucker. Hey, he sang, but that motherfucker sang, but
I'm gonna go Whitney for the ladies and for the fellas. I'm gonna go two. One people probably gonna laugh because they probably don't even know who this guy is. The other one, he just had a voice, and they could say call him what they want to call him, but his voice was just extremely beautiful. Tevin Campbell.
Hell yeah.
But for the dude who I really like, the number one dude I want to say, man, this is Mr. They ain't coming to see you. They came to see who? David Ruffin.
They ain't coming to see me.
They ain't coming to see you. Nah, David Ruffin was that dude, boy.
He was that dude. Okay, that's what's up. Good shit, man. All right, let's get into this old.
What is this?
A little bit.
26 degrees.
This is your Miami Hurricanes Barbershop Talk. We specialize in Barbershop Talk. We do a little football on the side, man. Here today with me, man, it's your boy, Larry. Of course, per usual, try to hold it down 10 times out of 10 if I can. But, you know, every once in a while, everybody got to move around. We had to record a little out of schedule today, so I don't have my main man, Meezy, with me today. But we do have the field general himself with us. X, say what's up to the people.
What's good, what's good, what's good, man? We back in the building, man. Shouts out to Portal Meezy. You know what I'm saying? He had some duty calls today, man, but you know, he'll be back. We're going to hold it down for him. He couldn't talk about the I Shop Talk today anyway, man. He too young.
Meezy would have been like, who is Joe? Joe who? Joe Biden?
That boy
Joe Biden got Army out.
Yeah, he'd have been lost, man. But we got the homie Rob. He with us, man. He's standing in paint. He been standing in the paint for the last few months with us anyway, man. So he's officially on the team.
He gang now, yo.
Yeah.
What up, Rob?
Man, what's going on, everybody? You know, it's a beautiful Wednesday. It ain't Sunday. It's a beautiful Wednesday. Birds are chirping. Weather's nice. Nice little breeze going. Yes, everything sir. Is everything. Shout out to, you say, Portal Meezy and Chaperone Chef Mall, you know, had some things to take care of, but we're gonna hold it down. You already know.
Yeah, Chef Mall, man. Yeah, Mall, he it's funny, man. Mall went in he was recently married, you know, since we started the show. So that was about a year ago now. And you know, Mall's full-time student now, man. And you know, that's what I always tell people. You know, careful what you envy, because you never know exactly what all entails with that particular job and what in that particular life. So I was like, man, you know, Maul goes to school full time, while his wife works, so he can get his education, and then they're gonna come together and form like Voltron, which is a dope plan. I really like that. I'm like, hell yeah, man. That's how we supposed to do, look out for each other and build a family. That's how you build your empire. But I tell you what, boy, Maul seemed just as busy, if not busier, than most people I know that do got a damn job to go to. I'm like, boy, they keep Maul on the run, man. He was supposed to be with us here today, actually. But yeah, he said he got pulled into some daddy duty stuff. So he had to, that's why he called him Chaperone Maul. He had to hop on the bus, man. Sit on the back of the bus with them kids, talking too much. And this one touching this one, they ain't supposed to be. Mr. I can see him now, Mr. Maul. He touched me. Hey, I'll be ready to jump out that damn fire at the emergency exit out of the back. I can't take this shit no more.
And Mar's so cool and relaxed. It's like he probably talking to the kids, and the kids said, "Man, shut up. You got a calm voice. Your voice just doesn't say be quiet."
Yeah.
You
know what I'm saying,
man? Yeah. Get out of here, man. Let us keep doing what we're doing, man.
That's funny, bro. Yeah. Yeah, he ain't with us here today, but yeah, we're gonna hold it down, man. It's a quiet, a little bit quiet time anyways around Canes football. Obviously, we into the real off season now, you know, because once the season's over, you got a little downtime, you got spring ball's over. Now we lining up visitor time, getting some of the big players lined up to come hang out and kick it on campus. You know, we know some dates already been lined up, so a lot of it's not even for this month. Really, June. I don't think we have any May visits. I think everything's June.
Well, nah. It's, you know, it's gonna be like, okay, so May gonna be unofficial. There's no
just officials swinging through, in May. Right?
No officials in May. Everything will be unofficial. All the official starts in June. It's a dead period. Like, you know, schools can't do officials in May anyway. So,
oh yeah,
everything right, officially yeah. starts in June. Once June opens up, it's gonna be crazy.
Oh yes, it's up again, man. I get to take my co-host money again, bro. I told them last year we was gonna have the number one class in the state. I stood on that. We had the number one class in the state, and that was with losing some big players in that class.
We lost three top players that could have really landed us top three. You lost right. Kamani. You lose Jaden Rashada. And you lose
what's the Anton name? Jackson.
No, not him.
Makayska.
We lost him late, but it was
yeah, he's still kind of in that class at that point. Talking about Makayska.
Connolly.
That's right.
You lose those three guys.
Because he was like the number one center or whatever.
Yeah, one center. So you lose those three guys and you kinda move from three to six and
seven
then
to eight or something. I think
we moved to six and then you know once Jackson leaves.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's like, well, you know, we lost four guys and we still end up with the
Still end up top of the state.
Oh yeah.
So what you think gonna happen this year? I'm told y'all and I stand on it. That's the thing, like when it comes to betting, sometimes people think I bet emotionally, and I really and truly don't. Perfect example. That's why I said I'm gonna take some more of my co-host's money. He was the emotional individual. I told him the first bet we had, Vanderbilt in Georgia. I said, Georgia is going to destroy Vanderbilt just like they did the year before. Like it's going to be an absolute bloodbath very, very quickly. They're gonna put them people out of their misery really fast. And that's exactly what happened, second year in a row. Because I was telling, you know, my whole point was, see, you the one, these people get, Georgia's still that. Even with all those defections, what happened to they scoring? They went from allowing 6 points a game to like 12 points a game.
12 points a game, yep.
Like, bro, do y'all really understand how ridiculous that is in modern football?
Yeah, that's,
That's
crazy.
We're going to really, really appreciate this in a few years. And then, so I said, and to top it off, y'all stink so bad, Vanderbilt's going to beat Florida. Lo and behold, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
It sound crazy to you. Didn't sound crazy to me. I was like, y'all suck. We suck, sure. Y'all suck too, bro. We can lose to Duke. You can lose to the Duke of the SEC. I don't know why that's a crazy thought to you, but it shouldn't be. But
the crazy part is Duke will probably smash Vanderbilt. They'll smash Vanderbilt. To be honest.
Hey, you line it up, man. Any given Saturday. But when I say that, and that's why I have keep reiterating that message. You'll see me post it here and there, either through 26 Degrees or my own account. I am very confident in our abilities to make that happen again. Even with this class that, you know, ain't got but one four-star in it, we already at 21. And some of those threes going to get bumps anyway. So when it's all said and done, I fully anticipate best class in the state. And I honestly think we could have a top five class this year. if things are done properly. And by done properly, I don't even mean that we have to go out there and have some crazy like 10-win season. I think you just got to show growth. You got to show a youth movement, letting these young guys get out there and play. The offense is going to have to move the ball, which I have all the confidence in the world that it will. And I think the recruiters recruit. Everybody acts like you got to recruit off of winning. And I'm like, well, we just proved last year you don't. Texas did it a few years ago as well. You don't. It doesn't have to be done off of winning. You have to learn how to spend the losses. Hey, we suck. We need you. You know, hey, you come here, we can provide you this, 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 and this. And you see how bad we is on the field. So, hey, come take his spot, man. I need you. Good recruiting ain't just always done because, oh, look how much we win. Like, that's not good recruiting then because that recruits itself.
Yeah, nah, we definitely going to be a top class. Definitely going to have the best class in the state. The crazy thing is, speaking with scouts, you know, all across the recruiting world, Florida is actually going to have a pretty good recruiting class. They're going to have a pretty good recruiting class. They'll probably land in the top 10 when it's all said and done. If things go the way it goes, obviously, I think the problem with them and then the problem with Florida State is closing in the end. You could get some of these top dogs now, but then, you know, sometimes the game we're in, the NIL game, those two schools just aren't doing it that good for high school kids. You know, Florida State did a good job with the portal kids, but the high school kids, they looking like, well, hold on. You know what I'm saying? Y'all ain't talking to us about numbers. You know what I'm saying? You just telling us y'all going to do this and this on the field, but then high school kids want to hear what's going on with this NIL stuff. You almost just at an advantage to do that. Regardless of all the negative rumors going around about a certain individual being broke, that's very false. It's money over there.
It's called the wish.
It's money over there, man. This man just sold his house for $27.5 million. Just made a 25% increase on what he got it for. Like, man, that's amazing. So people calling somebody broke and you doing stuff like that, huh? Broke? Where? What are you talking about? But again, like it's money down there, and we have a now that the state allowing the school to help with it, which is why you're starting to see Kane Connection get in place with some of these kids, because they're going to go get these kids these NIL deals. That's what it was for. It wasn't for them to raise money to give kids. It's for them to go help kids get the NIL deals. Certain schools in the state are using it to raise money and don't even have the money to give to the kids. So it's like, what are y'all doing? You know what I'm saying? People, that's why I don't even troll about it no more, because it don't make sense. Like, if they really know what it is, they wouldn't say the things they say. You know what I'm saying? But I guess it sounds good on the internet. Who cares, man? But we definitely gonna have a top five class. The way the D-line class is going to round out, and then the offensive line class alone, that'll put us in the top five. Mario's going to do his best to load up offensive line and defensive line. And then, you know, we're going to let the rest of our boys do their work. Coach Adai going to try to get that secondary going, which I think it'll be a very strong group. The only group that might not be as strong this year might be, linebacker. Because the two guys who you don't really want, they are highly rated guys, but they fit the criteria of what you don't want. They big and fast, you know what I'm saying? So, again, you know, our linebacker class we got last year, it's like, do we really need another high class at linebackers? You know what I'm saying? We don't want to take the chance of guys saying, okay, I come in, then I'm going to leave because I'm not going to play. So you get guys who you can develop that might be able to wait their turn. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not worried.
Yeah, I see it going the same way. You know, I told them people out there in Gainesville, I said, boy, y'all don't see that shit. Y'all don't see it's kind of funny that you got a five-star quarterback and ain't got no wide receiver committed yet. Like, That I don't care what nobody say. Yeah, I think I'm trolling, but like I'm dead serious. Like y'all got this. Well,
remember, Rob? They was hoping the guy we just got committed.
Yeah, Chance. They thought. Yeah,
they was gonna get Chance. They like, yeah. One of those idiots say, "Oh, y'all don't recruit South Florida receivers better than us." I was like, "What?"
No, I'm not. People, man.
Like, what did you? But.
Yeah, I ain't worried about that. And the crazy part is, Judge just did an interview with somebody. And he was saying, like, he's like, "Oh, yeah, me and Chance, we talk all the time. We've been talking even before we like committed." So that just tell me all I need to know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. And then with the linebacker thing, what I was gonna add is they're not highly rated, but the Chris Cole kid, like, he got some big time offers, like Georgia, Notre Dame, Penn State, Auburn. Like, it's some big time schools after him. So, you know, and I know that he's really high up there for us. So, I mean, we'll see that go. Him and Keyshawn Flowers, you know, they're not as highly rated, but, like, them boys got some big-time offers, man.
See, the Keyshawn Flowers kids, I love them. That's – if you look at him, it's kind of almost like you're looking at what's the linebacker we got the previous year, Marcellus – I forget how to pronounce his last name.
Pulliam.
Yeah, Pulliam. You kind of looking at the same individual. They both the same size, like 6'2 and a half, 215. Big, can hit, and can run. You know, our linebacker room didn't look like that at all. Like last year, our linebacker room didn't look like nothing at all. So we doing the job with linebacker. Skill position, you know, we're going to land some more top receivers. We're going to land another top running back, probably gonna land two top tight ends. They still looking at for another quarterback, which I think will eventually come later on in the season. Try to see, you know, how the offense looks. And defensive line, like I say, man, I think every position is going to be upgraded immediately. Especially that D line, because we're gonna need those guys to come in to play next year.
Yeah. So, nobody will be skipping the rotation. Especially in a defensive line. And hopefully you'll see some maturation of a couple of guys like Moss. Moss will get in this year. I think he's going to get his opportunity to be out there and be disruptive. But like X was saying, we do have to just continue to stack bodies in there because of the at least potential of guys that would be moving on to the next level or possibly even graduating, depending on, because some of these guys have been with the program for a little while now, like a Chance Williams. If Leonard Taylor goes out there and continues to ascend his game, he'll be a first round draft pick. That'd be another piece missing there. Harrison Hunt.
You could literally have maybe 9 guys that could get drafted. That's 9 guys from your team. We're not even counting, like you said, the guys who would graduate and say, "Well, yeah, I think my time is up here." You know what I'm saying? They
right.
Just recruiting and they bringing in younger guys. So out of the 9 guys that could get drafted, you probably have another 9 to 10 that just say, "Okay, maybe my time is up." So that's maybe 20 players you say that could just leave.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The team will be young, but you still need bodies to come in.
Gotta have them.
Gotta have them. You know what I'm saying?
And that's why, you know, that's why I want people to temper some of their expectations for next season as well, because we are going to get those young guys out there. They're going to make some mistakes. We're going to be talented enough to still have a successful season, but just keep it in check. And to be successful is going to be, you know, I had somebody that said, so 7-5 is successful. I was like, yeah, it's better than 5-7, right? It's a turnaround. It is heading towards the right direction. There are, if there's a coach right now that can go and flip a team that was hovering 5-7, 6-6, 7-5 for the last 20 years, right? So this has become the new tradition. We have a flash, right? 1-10 win season, 8. But if you look at our average, you know, and remember this, because remember we heralded Kirk Herbstreit for pointing this out. And we continue to salute Kirk We really appreciate you for embarrassing them on national TV. It was important.
Hell yeah.
And you're telling me there's a coach out there that's going to take that team. He's going to come in. He's going to adopt a roster that's so-so. A lot of stars on paper came in, but did not turn out to be they didn't live up to their four-star billing, right? Or the occasional five-star, which we didn't get a lot of, correct? And he could turn that roster into a 10-win team in year two. And his name isn't Nick Saban. Who is that coach? I don't know who this coach is. And hell, Nick could have trouble if he don't bring a third of that damn Bama roster with him. Like, I don't, like, you're not. Listen, man, that's this whole flip in a year nonsense. It's just unrealistic.
It is.
You can't name me that coach. Name me the coach.
I'm gonna explain this, and then I ain't gonna probably ever say it again. People have to understand that it's a difference from trying to flip your record within 1 year and trying to change a whole program.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? It's easy to go and say, okay, well, last year we was 5-7. We gonna flip it. We gonna be 10-2. It's easy. But then what happens the year after? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you fall right back down.
It's not about just improving the win total. It's about flipping and improving the entire program. You got to do that to be a respectable program. We had our 10-win season that year. The next year, we looked at it like crap. It was like, oh, this ain't the same team.
Right.
Yeah,
man,
so what's going on?
Prime example was Michigan State.
Michigan State, yeah.
Mel Tucker, first year. he was like, what, that was the COVID? He was like five, like 3-5 like COVID, or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, they, yeah.
Then he won 10 games. Now this year, he won what, 5 games? Now he's looking funny in the light because guess what? He done lost his starting quarterback and his future probably like top pick out receiver in Keon Coleman. So now what you going to do? You can't go out there and win another 5 games. You got to have a winning record because then guess what? Now everybody going to start looking at, man, we just paid him $9 million. Mm. He done had back-to-back losing seasons, or he's getting worse. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, right. I don't want that. If next year is 7-8 wins, okay, cool. In year three, guess what? 8, maybe 9 wins. Okay, cool. Right. Year four, now we at the 10-win threshold. Now we're seeing improvement. I don't want the one-year flip. Because now TCU, they're going to have to either duplicate –
That's
what I'm saying. But like, if they go out there and win 6 games next year, they're gonna be like, "What the hell?" Like, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah,
but that's what's more than likely gonna happen.
Yeah,
more than likely, what's gonna happen? They caught lightning in the bottle.
Yeah,
some things went right for them, and they got in the playoffs. Congratulations! I'm not knocking that.
And it's a lot easier. And this is where a lot of fans were like, "Well, maybe if we should have hired Lane." Okay, you hire Lane, you have an offensive team. That's it. TCU had an offensive team. Guess what? Their defense was horrible. You know what I'm saying? So what do you want? You want a good team or you just want to score points?
And Lane,
a lot of them after this past year, a lot of people just want to see scoring points. They're not paying attention to the team as a whole. And that's why I keep preaching, like, y'all want Lane and all these other because they offense, but tell me when they ever had a top defense or a good defense. Tell me how he does recruiting. You can't come off a 10-11 win season and finish 17th in recruiting. Hugh Freeze won, 7-8 games, and he had damn near the number one class.
Who won the national championship?
There was a different bag going on with Hugh Freeze.
But the bag that was going on.
He still worked it, though.
But you got to think about it. The bag that he was doing is what is going on right now. So that there really ain't no excuse.
You're right. He got the resources, and you ain't got to hide it this time.
Lane don't care about that
because Lane know he can scheme up the points, and he had Ole Miss, right? So what does he got to do with Ole Miss, bro? If you win 8 games at Ole Miss, you're a golden guy. You can stay there for years and years and years. You need to beat Mississippi State, at least every 3 years. As long as you maintain not losing to them on some crazy streak, beat Alabama every 7 years or so, you're a golden guy. Like, you don't have to do anything else. He understands that. Lane recruits on a different level. Lane is recruiting young tail, bro. He's not concerned. He understands where he is locked in. This is going to work. When they took him to Tennessee, he failed, right? Well, he quit or whatever. Did he even make it a day? He didn't make it a day. USC, same thing. The expectations there are not for you to just come. You come to USC, we're looking to get titles again, period. That we're not looking to be an 8-win team. We're looking to be the USC Trojan national championship team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the type of expectation that those programs. The reason he's doing what he's doing over at Ole Miss is, hey, that's good enough over there at Ole Miss, and he'll continue to thrive over there. But for our fan base that that expect this quick flip, and oh, they paying Mario. That means he said his dad said he paying him 8.5. Figured out 8.5 is just the market, bro. Mel set the market because Mel got 1 year and got $9 million. So it was like, well, what else are we going to pay him? I mean, you had no choice. The least you could pay him was $8 million. That's the market is set now. Mel don't got more success than Mario. So once he set the market, that's just what it is.
Look what they gave Mike after this past year, Mike Norvell. They gave he had like eight.
He got
eight,
a little over eight.
Yeah. He got a little over eight too.
Yeah.
So that's just what it is now.
Right. That's just the market is set now. So that ain't no big boy money now. That's just a decent coach money at this point. The big money probably be 12, 13 million or something like that. But
prime example, hold on. Mike Stoops at Kentucky. He went 80 more games. He get 100K for every win after that. What that tell you? Like, the standards is so, if you win seven games, they happy with it. You win eight, here's 100K. You win nine, here's another 100K.
They know what it is.
Hey, man, I got a real funny story about the Stoop brothers, man. Shouts out to the Stoop brothers, man. They are some of the, man, they are some real genuine individuals, man, who just love the sport of football. And when I say fire, I never met Bob Stoops before. I never met Bob Stoops. But if the brothers are like, if Mike and Mark are like that, Bob has to be somewhat like, man, shouts out to them Stoop brothers, man.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said all that to basically say, I think success is on the horizon. Sit tight. This second class will be pivotal, but I still think it's going to be good. Like you guys mentioned before, with the linebacking core, I didn't get a chance to kind of chime in there, but I agree. I think they're going to obviously attack smaller. We took a really big linebacker class last year. Number one, it's going to be a little less attractive to some of these guys, especially if you start piling in a whole bunch of bodies again in this class. But you also look at the company of, let's say the Cole kid, his offers ain't no slouchy offers. His he got a Georgia offer. He's got officials set for Georgia. If it wasn't committable, then they ain't gonna line all this stuff up. So you're still gonna end up getting a talented guy whose profile could raise. You gotta remember too, these guys they still gotta play their senior year. So these guys have an opportunity for that profile to raise anyways. But the portal, I want to get quickly into the portal just because the close, it just entering just closed, right? So if you ain't in by now, I think it's too late. I know there's like a 48-hour window, I think, before they'll officially announce any guy that has went in. So we're doing... when I say we're, obviously I'm talking about Miami. The staff is doing some work in the portal now, trying to shore up some other positions. We did bring in, since the last show, kind of as expected, is it Jaden or Jordan?
Jaden.
Okay, for some reason I feel like I was about to say it wrong. Yeah. Jaden Davis, local kid, a lot of snaps under his belt, played out there in the Big 12, a lot of starts, experience. Not a huge guy, which is why he wasn't high on our board at the time. He, I remember he comes out with Trajan Bandy. So we already had at the time a kind of one of a more undersized corners at the time. Good one. You know, Trajan did good work for us. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't trade it, but now Jordan's circling back, got another year. So you got to mature, got to help, you know, get some bodies in that room, number one. I know we complaining about, you know, the level that's coming in there, but I'm like, I don't, where is the top flight cornerback in the portal? Is there a guy that I'm unaware of that isn't looking at an opportunity in Miami? I would think would be strange. I don't think that's the situation. I don't think you're going to get a lot of these high-profile, top-flight guys in that cornerback position right now. It's not in the portal unless I'm not thinking of someone. So Miami's got to do the work they can with what's available. So they got to just bring in bodies, number one. And I don't think Jordan Davis is a bad take at all. He's an older guy, mature guy, trying to get one more year to up his NFL stock. That's his whole purpose. That's exactly the kind of guy you need in this room right now. Do we have to raise the level of talent in general? Yeah, so we have to continue to attack that through recruiting. But when you're talking portal right now, I have a hard time believing it's kind of a shortcoming of the staff when the one position that you could come in and know you could come eat is cornerback. I don't think they got to sugarcoat that at all. So the misses, quote unquote, or the lack of maybe high profile type guys, I just don't think they're available like that.
Yeah, they are. Remember the so-called, I guess if you want to go off the ratings, the so-called high level guys all chose schools once they enter the portal, like immediately. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, which means it was already working.
Yeah, again, I never bought into this lockdown corner. I mean, you have some, but at the same time, the way college football is played, it's kind of hard to be a lockdown corner. Because if your defensive line ain't getting to that quarterback, and if the quarterback got 4 to 5 seconds to get that ball out of his hands, it's 9 times out of 10, you finna get beat. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, the important factor is make sure that D-line is good. If D-line good, you could be a bad cornerback looking good. You know what I'm saying?
Going to take care of a lot of the back.
Looking good. So it's like the lockdown stuff is just it's not that in football no more. It's almost 85 to 90 plays on offense run. It's hard for you to go out there and cover somebody for 60 plays and think you're going to stop somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Prime example would be you know, we didn't get in the draft. We can kind of hit it real quick here. DJ Ivy got drafted. People in Miami, self-included at a point, for sure, we went way too hard at DJ. At the end of the day, he was never that bad of a quarterback, a cornerback, excuse me. Now, his bad moments are tremendous blunders. It's like, oof, you know, when he tripped, he don't catch himself, basically. You know how you walk down the street and you trip and you catch yourself real quick? Well, DJ fall down and, you know, drop the whole platter with him. That's kind of his blunders are that. But he got drafted because when he's playing solid football, he's not a bad corner at all, and he has the physical traits. That's why he got an opportunity to be drafted. Even in the seventh round, people go, seventh round, bro, it's drafted. Promise you, this is a tough league to get into. Mm-hmm. It's not as easy as one may think. So that just that opportunity it speaks to that. And I agree with you, X. It's so much more important to have those trenches on both sides. That's going to change some of these things. That's why a guy like Keely Ringo, who was a five-star, once you took Keely and you put him by himself and say, okay, let's see him. Let's look at his film. Let's get him in these workout settings. They were less impressed, which is why he dropped down to what, like the fifth round, I want to say.
Fourth round.
And this was a five-star recruit, right? So, and that's not a knock on him. Again, it just changes things. When you at Georgia, how good are you going to look when that D-line is monsters? your front seven is nightmares. Everybody looks better then. Because there ain't no time for the quarterback to get rid of the damn ball. Speaking of draft, I want to congratulate real quick. Will Mallory as well went in the fifth round to the Colts. Good luck catching them slants. heard the quarterback ain't got a lot of touch right now, man. You know, good. God bless that young black man too. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Get but, better. Get better, man.
I think I don't. AR's not going to start. I think they got like Gardner Minshew or somebody, the old Jacksonville quarterback and Philly quarterback.
No.
What I'm saying is, I don't think they're going to throw AR out there because he has a lot to work on. And the coach that's at Indianapolis was
Frank Wright.
No. That was Jalen Hurts OC. And Gardner Minshew was the backup to Jalen Hurts, you know what I'm saying, in there. So he went with them. So he knows the offense. Not saying he gonna lead them to goddamn 12 and you know whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that the offense is gonna actually be okay. You know, Mallory went a little lower than I expected because some of the other tight ends that they got called, I was like, what are they looking for, like blocking tight ends or what's what? Because a lot of the guys that really performed at the combine as far as running and all the other guys, they kind of got drafted kind of late, you know? So I don't know, but I think he's in a good spot though.
Injuries with him. I think that's the only thing held Will back.
Yeah.
Will didn't have he just every year he was hurt, including last year. Last year just didn't set him out for no big chunks, but every year with Will, he's hurt. If Will stays healthy, yeah, I think he goes fourth round, maybe even late third. But he's just such a long history. That same thing happened to Brevin Jordan. I was like, Brevin's got some good production, but Brevin's never not hurt. Yeah. So, you know, he ended up falling as far as he did. Tyreek went as expected in the second round.
And where it was, Tyreek was actually supposed to go a lot earlier. I forget what team that was when they traded up. It kind of set it back. Threw off the rhythm. So Tyreek didn't go as early as he was. A lot of teams was really saying, "Hold on, Tyreek sitting here. That's why he got picked by Cincinnati at that turn." Cause like
Chicago,
because they were like, "He's still here, man. Let's take him." You know what I'm saying? Cause we need a corner.
Right.
We need somebody to go out there and play, man. So.
Shit, you need four corners a day. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But
back in the day where you needed two, you need four.
Yeah, because you got to think about it. Shoot, Joey Porter slid. Like, they were talking about he was first-round corner. Like, he was, like, top 20 quarterback, and he slid to the second round, too. Yep. So, like, if he don't fall, Tyreek probably don't fall. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, so, you know.
It becomes a value thing. Them guys playing a lot of – them boys playing a lot of chicken. You know what I mean? It's like everybody staring each other down and who going to turn first. And, it's, you know, just like they always get into the draft and they be like, "We haven't seen such and such selected yet." Once one team pop, shit. Circle the wagons. We got to change.
Because them wide receivers, like, once that first one flew off the board, once Jackson and Jibba flew off the board, bro, it went four straight, back to back. All of them started going because that's what I wanted my Bills to get. I was like, okay, we looking good for Addison. And he was the last wide receiver pick in Minnesota pick. That's why we jumped in front of Dallas to get Kincaid, which I'm happy with Kincaid. I like Dalton Kincaid. We jumped in front of the Cowboys to get him. But, you know, that's how I be, man. That's how I be.
That's how the game goes in that respect. Real quick, back to Portal Talk. I just want to make sure we did get those guys their flowers. All the other undrafted free agent guys, I hope the opportunity work out for you. Good luck with that. Back to Portal, the other situation up for us, you know, and they said the coaches said, and to me, keep in mind with this too, coaches do coach talk too. So part of coach talk is, I don't want nobody coming. What you supposed to say? Is there any addition you need to make? Nah, we good, huh? We don't need nothing. Everybody, we solid. Nah, don't get too comfortable. It's like you don't want your woman to get too comfortable, or a woman don't want her man to get too comfortable and just get complacent and think everything's sweet. Same thing coach wants. Do I think the wide receiver room has that dynamic dog of a wide receiver? No. I don't think we have that guy. I don't think. Could be one like that. I don't, you know, like I say, maybe a Kobe Young emerges and becomes like, holy shit, look at Kobe Young. Like, You know, I already like the way he high points the ball and goes and attacks it. He's a bigger guy. Remember, he has been said to reshape his body some, lost some weight. So who knows? Maybe he's that guy. But I kind of to X's point earlier about trenches, we're going to have an improved offensive line. We are going to a spread air raid attack, right? So now we're going to be airing the ball out a little bit more. I do not know that, again, there's a wide receiver out there. Perfect example, and we'll see how this goes. It seems like it's trending away right now. Xavier Henderson. I'm sorry, Chris, that's his little brother. Xavier Henderson. First, everybody thought he was a shoe-in. Oh, he coming to Miami. He's another bigger guy with some speed. You know, maybe not the best get off the line, but either way, you know, oh, he'll be a shoe-in. I don't know that. I'm not telling you Xavier Henderson comes in and he just starts. I say that with all sincerity. Whose spot does he take? You know, I asked in our little group chat, oh, Jacoby George. I'm not hearing that about Jacoby George. I'm hearing Jacoby George is about his business. Jacoby George was not ever a bad player for us. Jacoby George was a little immature. And, you know, like I said, boy, I got a baby now. Things are a little different now. He's speaking differently now. He's understanding things differently now. Like, yo, time for the kids stuff is to be put away. I came in more touted than I am being respected now. Because guess what? High school over, son. Don't nobody care about that. What are you doing now? So that's the other reason. I don't think it's a lack of effort on the coaching staff. I just don't think you get to come in and just snatch a spot at the wide receiver room. I think you could earn it, but the slot is locked, right? We know the slot is locked up. That's Restrepo, and then we're going to get the young boys, going to get the rotation behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe Young looks like he's going to do well on one side, and Jacoby George is going to probably do well on the other side. Who out there can we definitively say is better than these guys so that you could say, hey, Johnny Jackson is a surefire NFL first round wide receiver. So when he gets here, somebody got to sit down. That guy ain't out there. Yeah. And so everybody else who won't pick us is like, I don't know. I don't think my situation is necessarily guaranteed. I may go to Cincinnati. I may go to Illinois. Oh, why would you go to Cincinnati, Illinois? Because I'm going to be the top dog for sure. They got to throw it to me there. Who else going to be in my way? That's why I think some of that situation isn't as attractive. Because people keep harping on the offense. It's not the same offense. Everybody knows that. It's not going to be last year's offense. So I don't want to knock the coaching staff. I'm putting myself in a position of, if I'm a wide receiver right now and I'm looking around out of the portal, would Miami be the most attractive spot to me? Well, I do like the quarterback. I do like the O-line. I don't know about this wide receiver room, though. I don't know if I just come in and just take his lunch. You could. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying it's not guaranteed. And a lot of these guys this is his last year. A lot of these guys are looking to come in. Like when we brought in Rambo. Now, he had another year, but he was looking for it to be his last year. And he knew he could come in and get it. And that's what he did. KJ Osborne, same situation. He could come in. He knew, I'm coming in, I'm taking a spot, and I'm going to try to get the NFL. It's worked out well for him. Rambo didn't make the NFL. He's playing some pro ball, though, anyways. But, again, the plan was there. His numbers were there. So Rambo did what he should have done. And he left when he should have left in that respect because, hell, he set the single-season receiving yard records. Like, what else could he probably possibly do? Other than maybe go fine-tune his game if the scouts weren't on high on him like that. But I understood his decision as well. So, I don't know. I say all that to say the doom and gloom I don't think is warranted. We hired a recruiter. Our recruiter is hiring more recruiters. Who we just hired? A girl from Texas A&M.
Texas A&M, yep.
Tia. Shouts out to Tia, man. She cool. Yeah. She cool. She helped orchestrate that infamous number one class of all time for Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very key part to that. So
with the Michigan State kid, everybody mad at. I don't think we don't have a Michigan State roster.
Yeah, and my thing is, like, the hate that he's getting, I don't think it's warranted because he's there to identify guys in the portal. Hey, coach, such and such hit the portal. Hey, he's not there like looking at their film or nothing like that. That's not his job. His job is, okay, let me see who hit the portal. Oh, hey, coach, hey, such and such hit the portal. Hey, such and such hit the portal. Hey, such and such. That's all he's supposed to do. He's not identifying. He's not looking at the talent and saying, you know, stuff like that. He's just giving them names of who all entered the portal, who we probably could be interested in. So it's like all this hate that he gets, it's like, bro, it's not his job to recruit. He's not recruiting nobody.
Right. And even if he was a talent identifier, let's say he was a talent identifier, I just told you why everything ain't going to be just sweet in Miami.
Yeah.
Like that, the only position where you just going to say, oh, I can go eat right away is corner.
Yep.
And that's because we brought in transfers, and the transfers haven't even necessarily been just surefire hitters, right? Mm-hmm. I think they're getting higher on what's my man Brown?
The older Brown.
They are starting to get higher on him and feel more comfortable with him. He may be in a pretty solid position to hold down one cornerback spot. But the other cornerback spots, even after bringing in transfers, still pretty open, which is why we brought in Jordan Davis, because he knows I can come in, I can get this starting spot, and this would be my last NFL film situation. So even if that kid was in charge of doing some evaluating, this ain't Michigan State. Michigan State roster was horrible when Mel got it.
Oh, yeah, horrible.
It was god-awful. So he could gut the whole damn thing, which is what happened. The whole thing got gutted. Brought in a whole bunch of kids that was D1 guys that, you know, just needed some different opportunities, different offense, blah, blah, blah. I don't think our roster is in that situation right now, especially with the addition of that young class last year. Because we're going to give these young boys a chance to grow. He recruited them, right?
Yeah.
You think he gave up on them after one season?
Nah. Yeah. And then, you know, the fact that even if that guy is there to look and identify the portal, things got to go through Lonzo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Lonzo is the guy who really evaluating the portal guys who's been in college. You know what I'm saying? He does an excellent job evaluating high school talent too, but he's the one who's saying, okay, this guy been in college for such and such. I think he's an NFL prototype player. Those are the guys that Lonzo bringing in. Kobe Young, he's identifying that.
Right. Who is our wide receiver one right now, right?
Kobe Young, you know what I'm saying? He identifies
Community College, right? And I've seen people frowning. Community College? Your wide receiver one from Community College.
Yeah, he identified Francisco. I can't even give him the total credit because we did get the brother, but hey,
that probably drew eyes to him, yeah.
The brother's pretty good at linebacker.
He's gonna be our star Mike backer.
You know what I'm saying? He's identifying the talent that's in the portal that he's trying to get. And you know, he's strategic about it because it's like we just don't want anybody to come. You know what I'm saying? Because at the same time, you gotta beware of character issues.
Come on.
Why are those guys leaving these other schools?
Come on.
Is it just because they're not playing, or they just looking for money, or they had an issue with the team? It's, you know, it's so much that you just don't want to just say, hey, oh, that guy hit the portal, let's get him.
Okay. Because what happens then, right? A rotten culture that we've had gets rottener. We are trying to set a culture. Just like we spoke on the other show, we are trying to make an identity for this team. It ain't going to be done in a year, man. It's, you know, I have people argue, oh, well, Mario's whole thing will be tied to his OC. It don't matter if we decide we're going to be a spread offense. Guess what? If Dawson gets a job in 2 years, who you think we're going to hire to replace him? Someone with the same concepts. So it doesn't change. That's identifying and creating a culture so that they know, when's the last time an Ohio State quarterback didn't just air the damn ball out? I can't remember. I don't remember this time. This was way back maybe when the score used to be 10-7 against Michigan. That's who they are. We're trying to get there, people. It's not going to be done in a season or two. it'll get there when people know, oh, Miami had the ball out. That's what they do. It don't matter who the coordinator is, because the next coordinator gonna understand, hey, in Miami, we throw the ball around, bubble. We get big on the O-line. We, you know, we run, we take our shots. We definitely gonna run the ball, but we're gonna take our shots. We can't say that yet because we haven't identified that and made that the culture and the identity of the team. If our culture wasn't so shitty, bro, we would not be this bad. I'm telling you, this ain't an accident. You don't fix a 20-year cancer with one chemo treatment. It has to be attacked.
I don't even want to call it culture no more. That's why I say the program. That is the whole program.
That's what I'm saying. The culture around the school. Football program is
the school. No, the school. The school, period. Like, the school just didn't care about sports. Like,
right. Man, that's true. And this is a new investment, right?
They got Radakovich.
Yeah. You know, they got the hospital. They got the hospital that's doing excellent business.
Right.
Their graduation rate is excellent regardless, because you got kids that's going to that school that really don't care about sports. You know what I'm saying? They going to real career fields. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, we Miami. You know, it's the local kids to come here. Y'all come here, y'all going to get a good education, y'all going to play for Miami, and that's it.
I think they got serious with
Rick. You know what I'm saying? When it came to the IPF and all that. Well, he helped them get serious.
Well, I would say, that's because he made them like, hey, man.
Yeah, he make it like that. You know what I'm saying? And it's been on the up. Now that Mario's in charge, they really serious because, hey, he's a hometown kid, born, not, I don't know if he was born there, but he was raised in Miami, high school, college, everything. Yeah.
He was born in Miami. The reason why they serious is because they realize the money that the football team alone can bring in can really keep the school afloat without them even having to worry about all those. Remember, all those years, the hospital been there, they just been making money. So they really had to say, well, we got to go dig into this money that we've been making to help. You know what I'm saying? So if the football team is generating money, we got money that we don't got to spend no more.
I was having a conversation yesterday, I believe. I said, hustlers don't stop getting more money. You think Jay-Z needs to go make any more deals in his life?
Hell no.
So why on earth hustlers continue to get more money? That's what they do. Miami hadn't had that hustler mentality. They failed to realize the hospital was built on the football. Okay, now the hospital's profitable. Because, you know, of course, it starts off, it's not going to be profitable either. Now it is profitable. It's been profitable for a while. Hey, take that money and put it back into football. Because football, the reason this hospital is profit now. Because now we could be creating two huge revenue streams. Hustle, they didn't have that mentality. Now you finally got somebody saying, hey, yo, why we ain't getting more money?
Radical.
What are you talking about? The hospital making money. So take that money, seed it over here, and we could be getting money here, here, here. Bro, when football teams do well, attendance, applications go up. I mean, now kids that used to be able to walk into Alabama can't get in Alabama no more because they get too many applications. Why do they get so many applications? Football team got good. Everybody want to go watch football. They want to say, I want the Crimson Tide. I'm part of that. Yeah, Roll Tide. I've had people, I had a guy that I used to work with. Went to Alabama. He told me he can't get into Alabama today. He wouldn't have been able to make it because they changed the criteria. Why? It's getting too many applications. You know how much free money application money is? If it costs you $100 to apply to Alabama, now that's just to apply.
Yeah.
And I say no, and I get a whole bunch of nope, 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 $100 at a time. No, 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 no. $100 every time I tell somebody no.
And what's their enrollment?
Exactly. And then I do get a big enrollment because it's a big public school. Yep. Come on, somebody. What you think happens in Miami? People, it goes up. It's more expensive to apply. But that team get good, people going to want to go there, period. I want to go to Miami. Guess why? Football. I ain't give a shit about no medical school. I don't know nothing about, they got a great law. I don't give a shit about none of that, man. You can get an education anywhere on this planet. And a degree, I don't care what college you get it from, a degree carries some weight. You got a 4-year bachelor's. People respect the fact that you put the work in. That's the bigger thing. A nicer name on it is awesome. Oh, don't get me wrong, but that's where we finally are as a school. And then hence, you can see the investment. So sit tight. All that, I believe, is coming. Yeah, that's it, man. I ain't really got much more on that. I'm off my soapbox. Let me step down real quick.
Yeah, we in good hands, man. That's all that matters. We in good hands. Just need people to just realize that, you know what I'm saying? It's a process. It don't need to be rushed, you know? So,
we married all the way to number 2, and I knew that shit was fool's gold. And I said, bro, we ain't that good.
a lot of those wins was some of those wins was comeback wins and last second, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it was Syracuse totally game, Florida State game, like all of me. It was a lot of that.
I think just those two games we had in those back to back weeks with the Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, it kind of set everybody on fire to say, well, damn, if we could do this to these two teams, we should be doing this to everybody else. You know what I'm saying? I just think we caught fire in a moment that but the momentum, we just caught momentum.
Man, it was fun. It was electric. We had a turnover chain. It was lightning in the bottle.
And then Notre Dame, you know, they came in disrespectful. Once they came in with that disrespectful Catholic versus a criminal talk, we always feel a certain way about that. Right. So that's what Mark Rick was a part of that era where Catholic versus. So he understood it and explained it to the team. Like, man, look, these people really hate y'all. They don't like y'all. They think y'all criminals. They think y'all thugs.
Yeah, they think y'all lowlife. That we let come play football. That's how they look at y'all. And then they look at y'all like, man, you can't even read, but your ass can run fast. That's how they look at you.
Yeah, yeah. And then don't forget, remember, I don't know if y'all remember, like before that game actually started, when the defensive coordinator at the time, Mike Elko, brought all those kids and they had the mic on them, he was like, man, fuck, they turnover chain and all this other type of stuff or whatever, and they played it. Oh, that got back. That got back.
We caught fire. So we got another coach who's been in big games and throughout his college career. So he understands it. He's trying to create that atmosphere around the players to say, look, being at Miami, for everybody who plays Miami, it's a big game. Even when Miami's sorry, he's explaining that to, you know, so, you know, the previous staff, they didn't understand it. They were like, man, everybody does this to everybody. No, everybody don't. Everybody does that to Miami because Miami is Miami.
And they going to give them their best. Little Tennessee made rings, man. Rings.
That's crazy. Man.
But we irrelevant.
Another school that's around the corner from us, probably what they won, one game after they beat us.
Yeah.
They didn't care about nothing but beating Miami.
Looty low, that was it. That's all they had, man.
The team in Leon County supposedly had a good season. They didn't beat no good team, but they beat Miami. They screaming, we blew y'all out by 40-something points. Okay. That's our biggest game of the year, obviously. Y'all didn't beat no red team.
I told him, I said, man, if I knew that was the case, I would have got us rings made when we beat y'all the same score. I did not know that was what we were supposed to do. I knew that we beat a shitty Florida State team, and I don't know how much I'm supposed to celebrate that. I mean, yeah, it's awesome for the rivalry, you know, bragging, but I didn't know it was supposed to be a ring and all this and 4th and 14 shirts. And, you know, I didn't know we were supposed to do all this when these types of situations happen against sorry teams.
But you remember Jimbo did the ring shit. He did the little state ring shit too.
I was like, yo, this is the goofiest shit I ever seen in my life. Goofy as hell. Especially when all three teams ain't fire. Now, when all three teams fire, okay, I can see you having it. Bruh, these all three teams is not fire, bruh. You talking about at the time when he was winning, when they was doing their thing, it was one fire-ass team and the other two sucked. So what are we talking about?
I don't even think it's like right to do that because all three teams don't play each other. Now if all three play each other every year, then it makes sense. But if only one school played both schools, it's kind of hard to say you state champion.
Right, you didn't play.
Florida, you and Florida don't play each other. Now, right. Guess what? 24 went all three places. 25. Now you can say, oh, state champs. Because everybody played each other. You know what I'm saying? So it's like.
Florida fans going to tell you, well, we would have beat y'all. That's how. That's how they gonna twist that one though. Well, we ain't played you, but if we would have played you, oh, that's how football played now by the woulda. Oh, okay, I didn't know. My bad. Because I had no idea.
24 gonna be a critical year because you got to think about it. Now Florida is still gonna be going through like a quarterback transition. They really ain't set. Jordan Travis finna be gone. All that shit that came back from Florida State is gonna be gone. And then we going to have our, you know what I'm saying, like transition with a new quarterback and all the other type of stuff. So 24 is going to be, it's going to be one of them years, man. And yeah. I just hope that we come out on top and we beat both.
I feel good about it already.
Oh, yeah. Definitely feel good about it, especially with this recruiting.
Yeah. Man, if we bring this class in, that they scared of, don't let them fool you. They see, you know, they seen David Stone get crystal ball to Oklahoma. Well, we don't need David Stone if we still get.
That's an old crystal ball. That's an old crystal ball. Cause even
trust
like,
me, that fight will not be over. It's not over.
Listen, you know, I went to one of the predominant top schools in Dade County High School the other day. I went out to watch them practice, man. I ain't gonna say no names, but it's a certain recruit that a certain team think they comfortable with, and it ain't going to be the end result.
Oh, say less.
I ain't going to say the name. I'm going to keep it like that.
Say you know less. On that note, we're going to end it because say less.
One thing before we roll out of here.
Yeah. Last
who do y'all think is going to be the next commit to fall? And then we can be done.
Next one.
Next commit to fall. Well, to be honest, man, we had like three guys that really tried to commit. And then the staff was like, nah, wait, we want y'all to come on these official visits. The tight end kid from New Jersey, he wanted to commit. I don't think we're going to end up getting him anymore.
Which is fine.
You know, and that's the thing. I say, man, once the staff start getting these bigger, with a highly rated guys to come on visits, these other names you won't hear anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So a commit could come out. I think what's the guy named Kaden Fox, the tight end from Georgia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He could be one to commit soon.
I'm gonna go different. I think it's gonna be Justin Scott. I think he's gonna set it off. I think after this, after
that was gonna be my pick.
Yeah, I think after this OV in the summer, I think that's probably gonna lock him up. It's gonna be something similar to Francis. You know what I'm saying?
I told everybody after the spring game that kid was, listen, when I spoke to him, I spoke with Aiden Braylon, and I spoke with T.A. Cunningham. I was like, man, all three of y'all going to play together in Miami? And them boys was like, man, just wait what happened. Just watch what's about to happen. And I was
look
like,
at man. Justin Scott got him an apartment down there already. All right? You don't tell me no different. Joke was that boy,
that's for a whole week. Yep.
You ain't got to tell me Nathan now.
And Kamari Franklin coming on the visit. And I think on the 2nd, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's the 9th. I think that's the weekend of the 3rd is a big weekend. Yeah, that's one of them. I know the 23rd is supposed to be another one, I believe.
And I like that kid. I want that kid here, boy. He's a man out there. He a man on that field.
Yes, sir. Like I said, man, watch the finish. It's, you know, I get it. It's anxious. It's, you know, we nervous. We got PTSD, man. But watch the finish. They say I don't care, and they try to use that against me. But I don't worry about the things that I can't control, and I don't worry about things that I don't think I need to worry about. And I don't think I need to worry about the Miami Hurricanes. I believe we're on the right direction. And this thing gonna get turned around, and we get laugh. Let them laugh now. It was funny with Rashada, wasn't it? Oh, ha ha ha! He coming to us. Look at him on the blue Lamborghini. Uh oh, y'all ain't got that man money.
Boys had to go to work. They had to go to work. They ain't had time for Twitter no more when that happened. They ain't had time for Facebook. They ain't have
just
time
a high school Instagram. Kid.
They didn't have time for all the social medias and all the other type of stuff anymore.
Then they support your points. Then they support your points. Well, we can get them in the portal. Oh
see. Oh, yeah. The group chat, group chat was quiet. Everything.
This has been another episode of 26 Degrees. We hope y'all enjoy rocking out with us as we enjoy coming here, bring it to you. We'll be back next week, man, with, you know, more talk, more shop talk, more football talk, man. We appreciate y'all. We out of here. One.
Peace.
All right.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.